What's up, fellow rockers? This is Glenn Cannon from Windowpane, and you are listening to LA Edge Web Radio Network.
What's up, everybody? Chris here. I'm an owner and operator, along with my wife, LA, of the LA Edge Web Radio Network. LA can't be here right now for this, but sends her sincerest apologies and wishes you nothing but the best in 2017. I would like to welcome you to this listening experience if you are a new LA Edge Web Radio listener. And if you're a returning listener, I want to give you a very, very special thank you. You guys are the backbone to LA Edge Web Radio. You're the fuel that runs the fire. So we have been working really, really hard behind the scenes trying to make this the best experience possible. Because in time and with your support, what we are hoping is to make LA Edge Web Radio the go-to place for your best podcasting experience. It's a new year, so why not give you the latest lineup of our weekly programming? On Mondays, tune in at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, of course, for the debut of a new paranormal experience. Join host Kevin Malone as he explores and uncovers the realm of the paranormal on his podcast, Transcending the Unknown. This guy knows his stuff, folks, so be sure to tune into this one. Now, on Tuesdays, it's going to get a bit interesting because I'm going to try to silence the critics, or at least wake them up, as I debut my solo open topic podcast, That Podcast with That Guy. So I need your help. I need topics. I need you guys to email me at laedgewebradio@gmail.com and give me any questions, concerns, bitches, complaints, whatever. I am going to take your topics and make that into the theme of the podcast. So your topic will be the theme of a podcast. It's almost like it's your own little podcast with me answering your questions or concerns or whatever. So email me at laedgewebradio@gmail.com and help me get this thing rolling. Wednesdays host the return of our trial-run political show, The Chalk Line of a Nation, but we've changed it up a bit. Mike and Kevin and myself all talked, and we said, you know what? Let's not make this the same old cookie-cutter political talk podcast. We know how those things are, right? So we decided we're going to mix it up a bit, and we're going to add a bit of a more of a humorous twist. We're going to make it fun. We're going to make you laugh instead of being mad or disgruntled or negative. We're going to try to make you laugh about the political scene in the United States because, after all, it's ridiculous. Thursdays are for our fellow gamers. Tune into the New Generations of Gaming podcast every Thursday afternoon as my son and myself discuss the topics of video gaming. We will share new beta experiences, rate the games, and share all the latest news. So join Brady and I for this fun and informational podcast. Monday through Thursdays, we have every show going on. Also, keep in mind that our flagship show that started it all for us, She Said, He Said, and our very popular show, Sounds of the Streets. They're still both very, very active in our library of programming, but we're just awaiting their returns. But they will be back, so don't worry. Again, thank you for supporting us by tuning into our network. We really, really do appreciate you guys. This is why we do this. We just want to entertain and give you guys something positive instead of the same old negativity and drama that fills our days. We want to be happy, folks. We need to be happy. So why not tune into a podcast that's going to make you laugh a little bit? It's healthy. Don't forget to keep up with the latest info by visiting our social media outlets on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also download the free Stitcher app and take us with you on your travels. And don't forget, you can catch up on all the archived episodes by visiting our website at laedgewebradio.com. LA Edge Web Radio, it's where it's at. The following program is an LA Edge Web Radio exclusive and is rated NC-17 for adult language and content. That means if you do not condone adult language and content and do not want your child exposed to adult language and content, then turn this shit off right now. LA Edge Web Radio is not responsible for the upbringing of your child or is not responsible for what your child listens to or is exposed to. LA Edge Web Radio strongly supports the broadcasting rating system and therefore does not condone anyone under the NC-17 age rating listening to this program. Thank you. Now, on to the show.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 2 of That Podcast with That Guy. I'm your host, Chris, and I am here to talk about everything and anything that you guys send into me. So this week's topic, I'm going to jump right into it, is from a good friend of mine and fellow brother in arms, Big Mike. And he said, could you maybe talk about how to transition from the military to civilian life? And I was like, you know what, that's a really good topic, because serving in two branches of the service, I have actually done, had to go through this twice. And I can tell you from a veteran standpoint, it can be a very difficult transition, because when you're in the military, you're under the training and supervision of basically people who are just dictating everything you do. So when you get out of the military, you have that mentality of get it done, get it done, get it done. And sometimes it can be, I don't know, quite the challenge, I guess you would say, when dealing with other people in the workforce, in the civilian world, who may not share the same mentality. Because we all know, we all have had those, or may, some of you may currently still have, I'm sure you do, but those coworkers who really, they don't pull their weight, and they're those people that really make you shake your head and say, why are they working here? And that's just, that's how it is. Because trust me, not every single person in the military is gung-ho and, you know, ready to go, you know, to war and is all, yay, I'm gung-ho, let's do this. There are people in the military that shouldn't be in the military. I've witnessed many of them. I'm sure fellow veterans listening have witnessed many of them. So the transition to the civilian world from the military may not seem to people from the civilian side of things to be like, oh, well, it can't be that hard of a transition. But here's the problem. It's more than just a transition to the civilian world. You have to point out things like PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, from whether injuries, whether battle, fatalities, whatever it may be. People tend to suffer a lot more from PTSD from being in the military, just because you undergo such intense training to prepare yourself for the military that everything seems to be just intense in general. And I think that's, you know, that's pretty much common sense of why a basic training boot camp, whatever you want to call it, that's why they push you so hard mentally and physically, because they want you to be the tip-top best you can be, to be battle-ready, because they just don't want to send any kid put a rifle in his hands and send him off to another country to fight a war. They want to make sure they have the best of the best. And so when you're trained to be that way, transitioning to a civilian world, it can be very stressful. It can lead to some depression problems. It can lead to all kinds of problems, because the problem with transitioning from military to civilian is when you're in the military, it's like a brotherhood. You all wear the same uniform. You all feel as if you're all part of a team with the same goal in mind. Now, when you transition to the civilian world, it's not always that way, because we all know corporate America is more cutthroat than any other place in the world. And really, it doesn't even matter if you work corporate America or if you just simply work in a fast food place or whatever you do when you get out of the military. Every transition is very, very difficult, because when you're trained in the military, you have this mentality of it needs to get done. There's no excuses, because in the military, there is no space for excuses, because excuses waste time, and wasting of time can lead to the death of someone. You have to have a strategy for every single thing you do. Civilian world, it's kind of like very lackadaisical, like things will get planned out. You know, you'll have your meetings or whatnot, or corporate will send down orders, or not orders, sorry, that's military, but corporate will send down the things that need to be addressed or done. And do people follow them? Yes. But do they follow them as strict as military? No. And so for somebody who's in the military, used to following a very strict set of routines and objectives, when they go to the civilian world, it's almost as if like, whoa, wait a minute. What are you guys doing? You know, like, we need to get this done. And sometimes it could be more of a flaw, because people in the civilian world look at you like, dude, you're going to give us a bad name if you keep working this hard and this fast. And when in reality, you're just doing your job. And so it becomes very confusing for people when it comes to working in the civilian world once you've been in the military. Now, that's that aspect of it. Now, another aspect of transitioning is the actual transition process, in which I've never really... My honest opinion of the transition process of leaving the military is a joke. They send you to this... Okay, here's how it happened. I served in both the Navy and the Marine Corps. I served honorably in both branches. I served full 4-year terms in both branches. In fact, I served longer in the Marine Corps because of my injury, which I was medically retired from. So almost 10 months past my end of obligated service contract date, being held because I had surgery and everything else. But the point I'm trying to make, sorry, is that there goes my brain again. I'm sorry. For all those people who tuned into the first episode, I just have to say this really quick. For everybody who tuned into the first episode and was completely lost by my rambling, I apologize. My brain works at like a mile a minute. I'm constantly thinking of ideas, but my brain is constantly just going from place to place to place. Like, it never sticks on a topic for very long. I get bored way too fast. And I don't know why. I've just always been like that ever since I've been a kid. So if Dr. Phil's listening to this, hey, call in, give me some advice. But anyway, the transition between the transition process with the military is they send you to these classes and, you know, they tell you how to write a resume, how, you know, you should get a suit and, you know, make sure that you have your shoes, you know, shined and polished and you look great. And I always found that kind of humorous because, excuse me, maybe back in the day that worked, but with the laid back world that we live in now, some people who are interviewing others, the person that is actually doing the interviewing, may be a bit intimidated by somebody who's in a dressed up, you know, in a really nice suit with a nice haircut and is presentable. They may find them threatening, because if they look so well put together, an interviewer may not want to bring them into the company, because if they've got this great military record, honorable service, awards, medals, what have you, they may look at that and see that as a threat. And so that's why I kind of wish that, I don't know today, they may, I don't know. So, but this is just speaking from my standpoint of when I was transitioning. But I really wish that with the laid back atmosphere of today's society and offices and corporations, I mean, people can wear shorts and sandals and that stuff to work. So I think it would be beneficial if they would actually start bringing in people from the actual civilian world to speak with these individuals, rather than having it be somebody from the military itself. Because both times I went to my classes for separation from the military, my transition classes were being presented by military members. And I was always like, you know, Well, if they're still in the military, then how would they have any idea of how to transition? And so it's just it always made me kind of laugh because I'm like, why don't you guys have some people who may be actual professional interviewers, that might even get hired? Because there are people out there who just get hired by mass companies to just do hiring. Not so much anymore as it used to, because today's day and age, they have human resources that's really, really starting to make strides, which is good. But if they could just get somebody even in the civilian world that works in human resources that they could come in and say, okay, look, I've never been in the military, so I don't know what your level of thinking is or what level of professionalism you are on, which the military, you have to have a high standard of professionalism in order to make it, because you just can't be lackadaisical in the military. It just will not work. So to have somebody come in from the civilian world who's been working in the civilian world their whole life and help these kids, because most of these kids that are getting separated are in their early to mid 20s. The ones that may do 4 years or maybe 8 years, you got to remember some of these kids sign up 17, 18 years old. You know, they do 4 years, they're still 21, 22 years old, you know, so they're still young. So when you have kids of that age, especially with the Marine Corps, a lot of kids become very, very thick skinned. That's one thing that they've always had this nickname for us in the Marines is jarheads, because they say that they take off our head and take the brain out and then put in what they want. And that's the whole thing behind the jarhead thing. But you have a lot of kids that they'll buy into the whole military thing, gun-ho, guns a-blazin', and then when it's time for them to transition to the civilian life, it's very difficult for them. There's actually been, we lose 22 veterans a day, folks, to suicide. It's a number that really needs to stop. And some of it, I wonder if some of those numbers have to relate to the transition process. Because like I said, you have some of these kids that have been pounded into their brains to fight, 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 best, strong, strong, you know, da, 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 almost like robots. And then you take them out of that and put them in a civilian setting, they can't adjust. They just can't. That's why most of them go back into the military. Some of them end up going the criminal route. Some of them end up taking their lives because they can't adjust. So I think this topic is a really good one that was sent in by Big Mike. And I appreciate him sending this in, because it's a topic that really does need to be addressed. I don't think that our veterans are getting enough attention when they're being separated, especially those coming from overseas, from the Middle East, from battle type of scenarios. I don't think that there is enough PTSD testing. I think that the PTSD testing in the military is an absolute joke. And I say that because if we're still having 22 veterans a day kill themselves, then there's a problem with the system somewhere, and it has to start with the military and their processing. There's just way too many kids not being able to adjust, and that's one of the outcomes. Now, the transition of the positive outcome, for me, the easiest part of transitioning was being able to socialize. And I think my advice for anybody getting out of the military is to lose the chip on your shoulder. You got to remember, you may have been the best at what you did when you were in the military, but you're now in somebody else's world. So the first thing my advice would be is to lose any chip that you might have thinking that you're a god, or, you know, I'm speaking to my veteran brothers and sisters here. We've all known those people who think that because they were in the military, it makes them superior to anyone. And I look at it like this. I served my country. I served in two branches of the service. I served in the Navy. I wanted to see the world. I was single. I had nothing holding me back, and I wanted to go see the world, and I got to see the world. I got to travel throughout the world to many, many places. There's still some that I didn't get to go visit, but I got to see a lot, and it's something that will stick with me for the rest of my life. I did my job in the Navy. I did my best to be the best, you know, whether it was general quarters, whether it was whatever we had, I always wanted to do my part to be the best at what I did. Did I have my moments of drunkenness and idiocy? Absolutely. Who didn't when you're 20 years old traveling around the world? Kids make mistakes. That's what we do when we're kids. We all are kids at one point. We've all made mistakes. And if you can't say you did, then you're a hypocrite and you're a liar. But anyway, sorry. But no, the whole transition of losing that chip will help you in the long run, because for one, it'll make you become presentable, to where people will, or not presentable, I'm sorry, approachable. I'm absolutely sorry. It'll make you become approachable, in the aspect of where you won't give off that air, you know, about you of being that hard ass or whatever. It'll make you likable. People will find you more appealing to hear about your stories in the military than have you shove them down their throat. Because people are curious. And so when transitioning from the military to the civilian world, look at it like this. Look at it like, I did my part. I served my country. Now I'm going to go serve it on another level. And I'm going to try to help, you know, bring peace to my own country now in the civilian aspect. And that's the way I looked at it. You know, I looked at it like when I was serving the military, I was doing my job to defend my country and to defend the people that were in my country. But once I was released and was put in the civilian world, placed, you know, it was something that wasn't the military's fault. I was injured. They took care of me. It was a long, hard battle. That'll be another episode. Trust me, I've got a lot of topics to go through, so I've got enough topics to last. But that'll be another episode, I promise. My whole personal transition from becoming injured in the military until I was released. It was quite the battle, to say the least. But as long as you stick to your guns and you, you know, don't get in trouble. Give yourself a good record. Make sure you have good conduct. Make sure you have honorable service. I don't think it'll be a problem for anybody to be able to transition, as long as they're not suffering from the previous illnesses that I said, as in mental illnesses with PTSD and that type of thing. I don't think it really depends on the person when it comes to transitioning. But I do believe it falls completely on the shoulders of the military, making sure that the transition process is put in place that's going to help us and not make us just look at it like a joke. Because let's be honest, my transitioning process was a joke. I already knew what to expect in the Marines, so I went to the class. It was the exact same thing as the Navy, pretty much. I was like, wow, I've heard all this before. And so it was almost like it was just scripted. And I'm sure it is. I'm sure they have documents and regulations and manuals on just transitioning. But I personally didn't have a problem transitioning back to the civilian world. But I also worked in the civilian world before I went in the military originally. So I had about 4 years of working experience before I went in at 19. Because I started working in fast food at 15, just to have a job because I was bored of sitting at home. So I got a job, and I think me being able to work in those various jobs in my teenagehood is what helped me cope with actually being transitioned back to the civilian life after my military time. That's why I think that it would be wise for the military to, I think they need to come up with some kind of process. They need to bring back the 2-year contracts. I think 4-year contracts is what's scaring a lot of kids away from just serving their country. Nobody really wants to tie up 4 years of their life because it's hard enough signing up for an undergrad program and having to slave through the 4 years of that. So nobody really wants to go volunteer to sign up for 4 years to have the chance of to lose their life. And I think that's where a lot of the problem with the military comes into a lot of this, because a lot of these kids aren't getting that aspect of military life, and so they're just living the civilian life the entire time, and they're not being able to get a taste of just why is this guy this way. You know, he served and he's just a dick, you know, and that's just, I don't know, that's the stereotype I feel like a lot of veterans get, is we're just hard ass people, because we've gone through such rigorous training and we've served in our country, and people look at the military like, oh, well, they're just people who just want to fight and kill. And that's not it at all. And so I think that there needs to be some kind of a transition phase that maybe even corporations, civilian corporations, could instill, to have like a veteran program. Because I know a lot of programs have been made throughout the United States to be able to help their military members transition, and they have like a veteran thing where they put into effect where they do promise to hire veterans, and I think that's great. It's just we need to make sure the military needs to make sure that the transition process isn't going to have any kickbacks or backfires, so to speak, because they haven't really helped somebody really truly transition. And it's so hard to explain, because unless you, like I said, unless you served in the military life is so different than the civilian life. You know, like I said, everything's in uniformity. You know, the houses look the same in base housing. You know, the uniforms that we wear at work are the exact same. Everything's just done in, you know, in uniformity. The lunchtime, you know, for everybody to take lunch is at the same time. You have between this time and this time, and then the chow hall closes. Or you have until, you know, 1300 to be back to work. That was always the standard for me. 1300, 1 o'clock p.m. was always the standard time in both the Navy and Marine Corps for when everybody had to be back to work from lunch. I know that doesn't really always work in the civilian world. You have people who start their lunches at 10. You have some people who wait until 2. You have people. So it's somewhat of a process for people to really understand, okay, I'm used to taking my lunch at this time, but now I'm not able to. And it's very hard. And it could be something as simple as taking a lunchtime at a certain hour that could really throw somebody off. When you think about how long you've been working at your job or how long you've been going to school. And imagine somebody telling you after you've had a certain way of doing things or studying or whatnot that you need to change that. That you can't do that anymore after 4 years. That's where the transition problem comes into for me with these military kids. They're so used to the system of the military and the way that they're trained, the way that they are adapt to certain scenarios and situations, to you know, training in terrorism awareness, to training into you name it. I mean, they train in everything. Military history, whatever. But then you can constantly instill these rules and regulations into them, which is great because I think the military needs to be disciplined. That's one thing that does not need to be taken away from the military is the discipline, because it's been taken away from everything else in the world. So being constantly disciplined and being constantly trained to do things a certain way changes the moment that you step out of the military and you step into the civilian world. And I really, like I said, I think that it's just it's all falling on the military of why some of these transitions are not successful. I still have somewhat of a military mentality, and I'll never lose it. To be frank, and I apologize in advance for my language, but I don't deal with bullshit. You know, I don't, like I said, serving in 2 years of the military, I dealt with a lot of dipshits. I mean, a lot. And I'm sure some people thought I was. That's fine. But when you get out of the military, when you're in the military, you don't have a choice but to deal with them. It's not like you can just walk away from them and say, well, screw you. Because this is somebody that you might be going to war with. This is somebody that you work with every day at this base. So you can't just walk away from them. You know, like, the military is a 24/7 thing. The civilian world is a 9-to-5-er. So, you know, or whatever shift or whatever you work. Because I know people don't work 24 hours, you know, a day for 4 years. There are doctors and people of that nature that put in 24-hour shifts, you know, police, you know, firefighters, and I respect all of those people, because without them putting in that time and showing that amount of discipline, we'd be screwed. So it's I know I'm getting way off track here, but I feel that this all kind of combines into the same conversation when you're talking about military to civilian transition. Because when you're in the military, you're on clock 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There is no off time from the military when you are on active duty. That's it. I mean, when you leave the base in the military, you're expected to carry yourself in a certain way. Like when we were in the military, we weren't allowed, in the Marine Corps, we were not allowed to wear our work uniforms outside of the base, like our camouflage, our camis, whatever you want to call them. We weren't allowed to wear them outside of the base. Some people did because they were boneheads. But when we left the base, we were supposed to be either in a dress uniform or in our civilian attire. And our civilian attire couldn't just be baggy jeans and a baggy shirt. I mean, they would tell us, you know, you have to wear a collared shirt. You have to, you know, be presentable. If you have jeans on, you should have your shirt tucked in. I mean, it was a very, very strong discipline type of nature. And so I think the problem is when we transition to the civilian side and we continue reflecting those traditions, people in the civilian world tend to get, they're confused, they're intimidated, they can't understand why. They call us weird because, why are you tucking in your shirt? That's just weird. But they don't understand that that's what we've known. And I think that that's just, once again, where people in the military need to stop teaching the transition classes and the military, the Department of Defense needs to hire people, professionals of high nature to come in and speak with these kids, even if it's a video or something you could show them, anything to give them a taste of the civilian life. Because the whole time I was sitting at my transition class, I felt like I was in the military. I did not feel one step closer to the civilian world at all sitting in my transition class, because I still was in the military. But what I'm saying is that what was being presented at the time of that class did not intrigue my interest or did not make me feel any change than what I was already in when compared to the civilian world. Like, I wasn't intrigued to want to go and become transitioned into the civilian world. I was happy and settled with who I was as a military guy. So to me, that was not a big deal. But I know with Big Mike writing this that there are a lot of people, a lot of veterans out there who have had and continue to have a tough time transitioning. It's not just from the moment you get out until you get your first job. Transitioning from the military to civilian life can take years. And I don't think a lot of people realize that. It can actually take years to transition. It's almost as if it's like a culture shock. Like when you go to another country, and their traditions and customs and environment is completely different than what you ever would ever see. For instance, when I went to Rome, you know, one of my dreams in life was to always see the Roman Colosseum. So that's all I had in my mind while I'm on the ship, you know, in the Navy, and we're transitioning through the Med, and we're going over there, and we, you know, dock to go to Rome. And as I'm looking at Rome, I'm like, I'm just in awe, because I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, I've seen pictures of Rome, but in my mind, it was like, they had to have, you know, established something to become more, I don't even know how to explain it. Like it was, when I went to Rome, it looked exactly how it appeared when I saw it in books from hundreds of years ago. Like there wasn't really a lot of change. Yes, there were automobiles and stuff of that nature, but I'm talking about structures. I'm talking about the communities. Like everybody shared the same type of traditions, and it was something that I just was caught off guard by. And I think that that exact feeling is the way that a lot of veterans feel when they go to the civilian world. Like they're so used to having things and seeing things in one way through the eyes of the military, that when they get to the civilian world, there's so many differences and the environments change drastically. And I don't think that the veterans are ready for that. And I think that they are just thrown back by it. And I think that's why a lot of them either re-enlist and go back into the military, or a lot of them cope with depression. A lot of them cope with feelings of worthlessness because they just can't adapt to that transition. And I wish I could help. I'm always here if anybody ever needs any advice on, you know, hey, you know, you're a dual branch veteran. What would you recommend for me? I'm about to get out of the military. What would be one of the things? And I'll tell you what, just because of the topic of this episode, which was awesome. Thank you, Mike, Big Mike, for this. But I think if I could give any advice to any military man or woman who's about to transition into the civilian life, it's do your research. Learn about a company that you're interested in. Learn about their type of infrastructure. Learn about the type of environment, working environment that they have. Are they laid back? You know, can you wear certain things? Do they not prefer suits because suits are threatening to a lot of the millennials that are in these companies today? And that's perfectly fine. I can see where suits could be intimidating. Suits to me represent power. You know, and I'm not a big fan of a suit. I've worn suits being in weddings and stuff of that nature in my own, but actually I didn't even wear a suit to my own wedding. I wore a nice vest. I hate suits. Just, I don't know. Suits to me are just old fashioned. I really look at them as being old fashioned. I wish somebody would come out with something that was a little more upbeat, but yet had a little bit of class to it than having to just buy a suit. I don't know. That's just me. But the only reason I say that is because the only reason I give this advice is because if you're thinking of wearing a suit to the interview, and the company doesn't reflect people who prefer suits, and they are more of a, like I said, laid back environment. You don't want to overkill the interview. So do your research, find out what's preferred, you know, see if, I know this might sound funny, but go to the place of work and, you know, go inside, see if there's a security guard there. See if there's somebody in HR you could talk to and just tell them, you know, I have an interest in your company. I'm really wanting to apply and send in my resume, but there are a few things that I was interested in finding out first. Because I tell you what, they're going to respect you more for wanting to find out about their company than not finding out and walking in there wearing something that they might find intimidating. So do your research. That would be my advice. You know, find out what they like. Find out what they don't like. Find out what type of environment it is. Because if it's not the type of environment that you think that you're going to be able to adapt to, then don't even go there. Don't even apply to that place. Who cares if there's a lot of money involved? Happiness is the first thing you need to focus on. Money can't buy happiness. Money can buy a lot of things that'll make you mask your unhappiness, but that's only temporary. There's only so long you can buy shit and make yourself happy until you realize that really deep down you are just miserable. So you got to find something that's going to make you happy, something that you feel that you personally can transition to, not what you're expected to, but find something that you feel comfortable with. And you have to be comfortable in your own skin. That's the main point. Because if you're transitioning out of the military, it's a very, very difficult thing to do. It really can be for a lot of people. Like I said, for me, it wasn't a problem. But I'm also somebody who's never, ever had a problem with social adaptation, ever. I was a new kid in 19 different schools from kindergarten to 12th grade. And so I always had to socially become approachable. It was either that or I would be the emo kid sitting in the corner by myself for the entire existence of my school time. And I wasn't going to do that. So I had to transition constantly, you know, from rural country schools to inner city schools. I did it all, you know, and so I've never had a problem with adapting or transitioning to anything when it came to like a social type of setting. And the only reason I say that is because that's all you really truly need to worry about when you're transitioning from the military. You need to lose the chip on your shoulder because you're no longer in the military. You served and people are grateful for it, but you don't have to shove it in people's faces. You don't have to be a hard ass. You're not in the military. That's the first thing you have to remember. You are no longer in the military. So you cannot talk to people or expect people to be the same as what they were when you were in the military. Secondly, you've got to be social. You've got to find that job that will allow you to come out of your shell and just be a civilian, to be yourself. You've just got to release all that discipline from the military. Not all of it, but the parts of it where the no nonsense, no bullshit kind of stuff. And I know I'm hypocritical because I said I'm that type of way, but when I first transitioned, I didn't act that way. I didn't have that attitude. I went into it with bright eyes and with the attitude of I want to learn whatever I can from this company, and that's what you have to do. But at the same time, I made friends, and I was approachable. You know, I made myself approachable to everybody and anybody. I was friends with the person who worked on the servers to the CEO. I would talk to them daily. People that were in the workforce, that were in the backbone of the company. You have to just be a person. Don't be a military member anymore. Be a civilian. I know it's a very, very hard transition, but just like I said, do the research, find out what best fits your personality. Because if you still have that bit of a military mentality, then there are companies out there who would prefer to hire somebody with that type of mentality because they know that the job will get done. So just do your research. You know, we have the internet, so research is endless. That's the advice I could give. Be yourself. But be yourself and be the person you were before you went in the military. Try to dig back to your roots of who you were before you ever walked in that recruiter's office. And let that person live again. Because that's all it is. That's all the military is for our lives. We hit the pause button on our personality. At least that's what I did. I never let the military affect me and my morals in life. I never let the military affect my outlook on certain situations in life. You know, religions, politics. I've never let anything in the military influence any of my views. Because even though we're in the military, and yes, the training and the mental discipline was tough in training, in basic training, I never allowed myself to become a jarhead. And, you know, I never allowed them to change who I was. I was always a social guy who loved to have fun, who loved to laugh, who loved to have friends around me. And I've never changed that. But if I could say one thing, I think it's good for veterans to have a little bit of piece of that no bullshit mentality with them, because you're going to need it in the civilian world. Trust me on that. So it's a completely different world, ladies and gents. And for anybody out there who may be tuning in or may catch this episode who's about to transition into the military or into the civilian world from the military, just do your research. A lot of the stuff they're going to teach you in the military in your transition class can be very helpful. The resume building part, I would definitely pay a lot of attention to, take a lot of notes, because resumes in the civilian world, they change constantly. Just the format, just the presentation part of it. Some employers like it to be presented in a folder. Some do not. Some like paper clips. Some like staples. It's ridiculous. That's why I said the military transition program to me is a joke. It didn't help me at all. It did nothing for me. The job fairs that they had at Camp Lejeune when I was stationed did nothing for me. It all depends on you and what you're interested in and what research you do. Don't let anybody else dictate what you're going to have to do for the rest of your life. Make it something that you're happy doing. Like I said, don't base the rest of your life off of a paycheck. Base it off of what you're going to be doing at that job and just how happy you're going to be at that job. Because if making money is one thing, but being happy, that trumps it for me every time. So that would be my advice, and I know this has been an extremely lengthy episode, but this was something that really, really touched home with me and that I felt that I really needed to discuss and talk about my personal experience with it. And hey, if you're a veteran and you've transitioned, I'd love to hear your story. And so please write me at laedgewebradio@gmail.com. You can go over to our Facebook pages at LA Edge Web Radio on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Download our app or download Stitcher app and search for LA Edge Web Radio and listen to us in your vehicles while you're traveling to work, while you're traveling to transition from the military to civilian life. You can listen to this podcast and it might help you get through your day. I don't know. I'm sure there might be people out there who disagree with me and find that the transition program for the military helped them drastically. It's to each his own kind of situation. Like I said, it didn't help me at all, but it may have helped other people. I personally think the only reason it didn't help me was because I didn't go into military until I was almost 20. Actually, I didn't go into military until I was 20. I had just turned 20. So, I was a bit older, you know, so I wasn't a scared kid right out of high school. And you know, I went to college for a year and a half or whatever. It just wasn't for me at the time. And so I think that giving myself a couple extra years after high school to just kind of adapt to that, because that's a transition in itself. The transition from the military to the civilian world is one thing, but what about the transition from the civilian world to the military? Now there's another topic, but that's a whole new episode. But just as I said, just be yourself. Don't be a hard ass. Nobody gives a crap about that. Honestly, I mean, if you did things in war that got you know, myself and all your other fellow brothers and sisters in arms hyped about it. Like, yeah, good job, man. That's one thing. That's the military thing. But in the civilian world, there's a reason those people aren't in the military. And it's because they don't want to be in the military. They'd rather work in the civilian world. So you have to respect that aspect and not shove your military stuff in their face. Because half of them don't give a crap. If they care, they'll ask you about it. But don't shove it on them. That's the one thing that I have learned. I've witnessed some other fellow veterans who have worked in jobs where I was. And they didn't fare so well because they were always talking about the way they did things in the military. And nobody cared because they looked at it like this. And people have said it to me. Why does he do that? I don't care. I mean, I care that he served. I'm thankful for that. But this isn't the military, so I really don't want to hear about this every day. You know, and that's just what, that's the aspect of it. So you just have to really, like I said, I can't say it enough. Do your research. Find out what a company's all about. Find out what their infrastructure is like. Find out what their overall mission statement is. Find out everything you need to find out about a company that will make you be able to ask yourself, is this the company that fits me best? Because if it's not, then you're only going to be unhappy. And unhappiness is not cool. But I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to play a little song here for you because I like to play a song at the end of each episode. And last week we played some Chloe Wildman. This week I'm going to break it down a little bit. There's a group out of Washington, Seattle to be specific, who I really, really dig. I really like their music. And there's a ballad that they sing that I just really, really like. And so I'd like to play that for you guys. And it's by the band Windowpane. You can actually listen to the interview that I had with Glenn Cannon, lead singer of Windowpane, over at LA Edge Web Radio under our Sounds of the Streets section under the shows. It's the interview with Windowpane. Go check it out. It's really, really good. Play some music. Have a good time. He tells a story about, you know, being driving down an RV down an icy mountain while they were traveling from a show and losing brakes. Or no, they were traveling down the mountain and lost brakes. That's what it was. And it was a very, very entertaining and suspenseful story. So go check that out. But this is Lady Jessica, and it's by Windowpane. And I only play this song because, to me, this song is a mix of a little bit of both. It's got your ballad, and then it's got your rock. And I look at that like it's got a great transition between both. And that, I think, fits this episode quite well. Hope you have a great week, everybody. Thank you for tuning in, everyone. I am Chris, and you are listening to That Podcast with That Guy. Thanks a lot.
Lady Jessica, what's been ailing you? I ran into your mom, she'd been missing you. Said she had not seen your face in over 7 lonely years. 7 years ago, you said you had to go. When I dared ask you where, you said you didn't know. Only knew there might be less pain in some place far off from here. Guess we all get parts to play. In your little drama, day by day. It's a sad song to remind you from where you came. It's a sad song to remind you. Thank you. Jessica, I haven't heard from you, but I've been passing the time wishing you well. I've been locked inside this room, I've been locked up in this hell. Did you find your heart? Did you find your dreams? Did you wind up a star on the silver screen? Or did all those childhood dreams turn into weight you could not bear? Guess we all give hope away. In your little drama day by day, it's a sad song. A sad song to remind you from where you came. It's a sad song. A sad song to remind you of what I
Did you know each year over 44,000 Americans lose their battles in life to suicide? That's an average of 121 suicides per day. I'm Chris of LA Edge Web Radio. As a parent, I'm concerned about the rising rate of suicide among young adults. We need to talk to our kids about this tragic epidemic. If you or someone you know is concerned about suicide or needs someone to talk to about suicide prevention, please call the National Suicide Prevention Hotline at 1-800-273-8255. That's 1-800-273-TALK. One call could mean the difference.